Open your Bibles tonight. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to talk to you about a couple of the facets, the many facets of faith, many sides, angles that we have that we can view this wonderful doctrine of faith. First of all, a little illustration about dead faith. Dead faith. A man took a bottle of medicine. Let me get my bottle of medicine. A man took a bottle of medicine and he said to himself, "Oh, I have a terrible headache, but I believe that this medicine can make my head stop hurting." He said, "I'm sure it'll work." He said, "I have every confidence in the company that made this drug, and I have every confidence in the doctor that prescribed it. As I read this label, I believe everything that's written on it. I know these directions are 100% correct. I'm quite positive that this will take care of my headache." And he puts it back in his cabinet and walks away. There's a problem with that, isn't it? Now, he has all grades of faith in this miracle drug, right? All grades of faith in it, but it's dead faith. It's passive. It's passive. We talk about it. We wait for something to happen, but we do nothing. We say we believe, but it's dead faith. George Mueller was a man of faith. Are you familiar with George Mueller? George Mueller had a great faith, a living and an active faith. He said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." Now, if you've read his biography, you know that's how he lived too. He prayed about things that were impossible, and they became realities so often. And he did some chronicles of those things so that you can read about them. He kept records of how God answered his prayers and the prayers of others. It was amazing. So let me ask you tonight, is your faith alive or is it a dead faith? Is it a passive or an active faith? And my desire tonight is to help you entertain a serious thought, a serious question. What am I believing God for tonight? What am I trusting God for tonight? Only living active faith can please and can glorify God. And God's given us a lot of things to have faith about. Now, we don't just draw something out of the air. You can't believe God will do anything you can think because he hasn't promised to do that. But we have multiplicity of promises given to us in his word. Many, many things that we can trust him for. What are you trusting God for tonight? I want to say this before I actually begin with the text here, that the Lord has really blessed my heart with this today. This was a wonderful study for me. And I say that because I hope it'll be a wonderful little study for you here on a Wednesday night. The importance of faith. Faith is important, isn't it? Because without faith, nobody comes to God. Nobody is adopted into the family of God. Nobody's born again, redeemed, justified, or sanctified. We have to have faith. In the New Testament, people are believing in something that's past. That's not hard, is it? That's history. We're believing in something, though, that we don't actually see with our eyes. We read about it. We know about it. Paul put it in simple terms, what we believe. He said, "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We call that the gospel. Now, I would say, you know, understanding those things about the Lord Jesus Christ, that's fairly easy. History bears it out. To believe that as a historical fact won't save somebody. Is that right? No, you have to put your faith and confidence in what that is about, what that means. Jesus died on the cross, but when he died, he took my sins to the cross with him. He suffered my death. He was buried. He rose from the dead. He gives me new life. As we've been talking about in the book of Romans in chapter 7 on Sundays. And so the Apostle John sort of puts it together. He says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that was 1 Corinthians 15. And chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And I didn't even give you the reference probably, but that's what I just read. 1 Corinthians 15. 3 and 4, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And John tells us, but as many as receive him as the Savior, receive what he did on the cross and make it personal, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I'm going next down to Genesis chapter 3. So turn, I'll give you a little time to get there. In the Old Testament, how did people get saved? In a word, how did people get saved in the Old Testament? By faith. Always faith. In who? Always in Jesus Christ. They didn't know his name, right? They didn't know his name, but they knew that he was coming. And they were believing in that one who's coming, who we know now was named by God, Jesus Christ. They looked forward, we look back, they looked forward. Even in the Garden of Eden, in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 14, we call this the Protevangelium. It is the gospel in the third chapter of the Bible, verse 14, chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, now I'm going to skip down to verse 15. He said to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Do you see it? The head bruiser. Who's it talking about? The seed of a woman, and there's only been one, right? Talking about the Lord Jesus. Now, from the Garden of Eden, the gospel was presented. That's all they knew at that point. And as time progressed, so was the understanding and the revelation of God progressive. And they moved through the Old Testament scriptures, learning more and more by the prophets about the coming of this head bruiser back in Genesis 3:15. In Isaiah 53, and you don't need to turn here because I know that you know this verse. Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah when he said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our what? Our iniquities, our sin, the chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Psalm 2, look at this verse. You're probably familiar. Psalm 2:12. In the Old Testament, the prophets, the writers of history, all pointed toward Jesus. Many, even in these poetic books, there are prophetic messages about Christ. It says in chapter 2 and verse 12, Psalm 2:12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, in the Old Testament, that would have some meaning, but we know that ultimately that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That's prophetic, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So people get saved by faith. It's important, isn't it? If you're here and you're saved, you had to believe to be saved. And that's enough, right? That's enough faith. Just get saved and don't worry about faith anymore, right? No, that's not right, is it? It's not enough just to be saved. The Bible tells us that we ought to go on after we are saved, that we ought to go on in that same faith, moving forward through our life, believing God for more and more. First thing you believe is that Jesus died for my sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. That took care of my sins, and I've accepted him as my personal Savior. That takes faith. But then there's more to believe him for, right? No matter how long you've been saved, there's more to believe him for. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, little faith will bring your soul to heaven. That's getting saved. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Don't you like that? A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I think we're missing out on a lot of wonderful blessings in this life because we just don't exercise enough faith. And that's what spoke to my heart today. I want to increase my faith. A child of God must also walk, must also live by faith. Not just be saved, not just enter into the family, but go on believing God for more and more. I used this illustration before, but it bears repeating tonight. There was a house fire, and a little boy was upstairs. He got caught in the house, could not get out, forced to flee out onto the hip roof on the side of his bedroom and walk out there, and he could hear the commotion down, and then he picked out this voice coming from the crowd below, and he recognized it was his father's voice, and he said, "Johnny, jump. I'll catch you." And Johnny sort of looked around into the darkness and he said, "Johnny, jump, I'll catch you." And Johnny said, "I can't see you, Daddy." And his dad said back to him, "Johnny, but I can see you. I can see you and I'll catch you." Similarly, you and I need to believe that God sees us, that He's in control. And He understands what we don't understand. And He is involved in our lives because we're His children and He loves us. And He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. He's promised to meet every need. He's promised to give us power to do the work of the ministry. And we don't see Him. You can't look up at night and see God. You see what He's done, but you don't see God. You don't see the glory of God except in His creation to that extent. But we need to believe He's there, that He cares about us. He sees us. He's in control. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. Turn there if you would. I'll wait just a second. We need to act like God knows us, that He sees us, that He is in control of the circumstances of life. Now let's look at these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 18. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal," they're temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Now we can't see it. But which is the most important, that which is temporal or that which is eternal? We can see all the temporal stuff, but it's not nearly as important as what we can't see. Do you believe that? There's God all around us. There's God busy. He has a plan for our lives and for Corinth Baptist Church and for Corinth, Maine and for all of the United States. He has a plan for the lost and the saved and the angels, fallen and holy angels. He has a plan for Israel. And we can't see what's going on in that eternal realm just yet, except by the eyes of faith, as we learn the things of the Word of God. We trust Him. We believe He's there. We believe what He says. And God blesses us for our belief. Look at the next verses, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Let me just kind of give you a capsule form. Paul says that we believe that we are eternal beings in the first six verses. We're eternal beings. And at the end of life, we're going to be with the Lord. That's what he's saying here in the first six verses. How can he be so confident? So confident that he said, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's verse 8. He's that confident in what he's saying. How could he be so confident? Verse 7 says, For we walk by faith. We believe the things we can't see. For we walk by faith. Not by what? It's not by sight. We don't walk by sight. I have to confess to you, I walk by sight a lot. I try to reason things out instead of casting instead of giving God some attention. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't you lean on your own understanding a lot? We do, don't we? In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do we believe that? That's faith. Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight. His point is faith is the realm in which we live spiritually right now. Everything God wants to do for us is through faith. Everything he has done for us, we have to receive it by faith. Faith is the realm that we live in. Without faith, brothers and sisters, we'll miss everything. Let me say that again. Without faith, we'll miss everything. Everything God has for us right now. You know, our salvation is not just for when we die. Our salvation is for living. When you accepted Christ, you got eternal life. That means you know God now. And everything he wants to do for you and for me, he wants to do it through faith. You don't have faith, you don't have anything. You have faith, you have everything he wants to give us. We need to discover what he wants to do for us, what he wants to give us, what he wants us to know. Discover it and believe it. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if a man draw back, if a man falls away, stops believing, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Hebrews 10, 38. So we're supposed to be living in a constant exercise of faith if we want to please God. You remember Hebrews 11, right? 6. "For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Brothers and sisters, if we don't exercise faith, God's disappointed in us. That ought to matter. Living in a constant exercising of our faith. Faithlessness dishonors God. His children don't even believe in him. And that's where we are in this world in which we live right now. His children don't even believe. They believe what they want to believe. They make up things to believe. There's false doctrine everywhere. No, we need to believe God. Faith is like being blindfolded and allow somebody to lead us around. Have you ever tried that? You just can't see. Somebody's leading you around by the hand and they're describing every step. Now you have to step around the corner here. There's a little step down. Yeah, right at about 2 feet ahead of you, there's a little step down. And they coach you. God doesn't lead us by the hand, but God leads us by the heart. Because we believe him. Because we trust in what he says. And faithlessness dishonors our Heavenly Father. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night and faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, "Who believes?" Faith answers, I do. Faith is important. It's important to be saved. Oh, we already got that, right? That's behind us now. But now we need to go on living in faith. Walk by faith. I think we don't like we ought to. How do you obtain faith? How do you maintain faith? Well, faith comes from exposure to the Word of God. We know that from the book of Hebrews. But before we go to Hebrews, let me go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. In salvation, our salvation comes from faith in the Word of God. None of us ever saw Christ. None of us were there when he was crucified on the cross. None of us saw the resurrected Christ, but all of us, I trust, believe that he did. That he did die, that he was risen from the dead, that he is alive, that he's back in heaven. The Bible says here in verse 16, Paul speaking, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth." Faith. To everyone who believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now in Romans chapter 10, Flip over a few pages. These are familiar words, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, that's sort of the context leading up to verse 17, the very common verse that we know. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where do you get faith? Well, faith is just believing. You get faith when you know what to believe. And you'll find out what to believe in the Word of God. There's nothing mystical about that. You want more faith? Just learn more Bible. Just read the Bible and find out what God has to say and believe it. That's more faith. You will have more faith if you'll read the Bible and believe it. If you leave a piece of metal, men, you may have done this, leave it stuck to a magnet for a long time, what happens to the piece of metal, the screwdriver or whatever it might be? It becomes magnetic. It'll hold a screw. Just by being against the metal, it becomes magnetic. When we meditate on the Scripture enough, when we spend enough time in the Word of God, we'll start thinking like that. We'll start thinking in accordance with the Word of God. The Word of God will help us to shape our thoughts in such a way as will please the Lord, because we know what He thinks. We meditate upon the Word of God, and then we start to think like the Word of God, and when we do that, faith is produced. We start to believe those things. Faith is strengthened then by exercising it. And what exercises our faith? Trials. Hardship. Hardship. George Mueller said, difficulties are food for faith to feed on. Difficulties are food for faith to feed on. I was a mechanic for a while, and it could apply to anything, but you would learn how to do something working on a tractor or something, and then it might be a year before another one comes in. You know what you had to do if it's been a year since you did it? You had to go back to the book and read it again. Computers are that way. You ever do something on a computer? I got it, you think. And then all of a sudden you have to do that again, and you think, now what was that? I've forgotten. Do you forget? My memory is what I forget with. I forget with it. We have to exercise it or we lose it, right? And faith is the same way. We have to exercise our faith, and to exercise our faith requires temptations and trials and hardships. Now I'll say, you know, we could be in bad shape financially, economically, and we miss a paycheck. And you think, no problem, got money in the bank. I'm okay this week. I can make it. We're okay. And we don't worry about it at all. We just kind of wait. No big deal. That's not going to do much for your faith, is it? The only trial that will test our faith and make it stronger is one that tempts us to stop believing God will take care of it. And that's the trial. That's the weight of the trial that is required to test your faith. It's one of those things that make you want to throw up your hands and say, where's God in this? Is God going to see me through? It looks like the Lord's not going to do this for me. Those are the kind of tests that make our faith grow. Almost don't want to preach that. Do you want to pray, Lord, make my faith strong? Well, we know the way to make your faith strong is test it. Spend time in the Word, grows there. Feed the faith that you have with with truth to support it, to substantiate it in your mind that will help your faith to be stronger. But trials come and they make our faith strong. If they're the kind of trials that cause us to wonder if God's going to pull us through this one. The good news is whether you pass the test or not, your faith still gets stronger because God always comes through. And even when I stopped believing last week and God says, okay, there it is. I say, oh Lord. Oh Lord, look, I forsook my faith last week because I thought you weren't going to make this happen. And here the Lord does. And I grow by that. But I'll tell you the way that we grow the most is have faith, believe God all the way through the trial. That's what He wants. And our faith will grow stronger. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect. That means complete, mature, grown up. You may be perfect. He says, perfect. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You don't need anything. Totally grown up. How do we get there? Count it joy when you fall into trials. Now, it takes a little bit of spiritual maturity to want to do that, doesn't it? None of us want trials. But think about it. Next time something happens, while you're really feeling bad and don't know how you're going to deal with this, just stop and bow your head and say, Lord, there's something here you want me to learn. Help me to learn it. I know you're here, Lord. I know you'll see me through this. I know this is going to work out okay because I'm your child and you're my God. And our faith will grow. The object of our faith. What is the object of our faith? Or should I say, who? Now that was a dead giveaway. Who is the object of our faith? God is, isn't He? We have faith in Him. We don't have faith in ourselves, in our own abilities. The faith that we need to have is God. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'd look there, Hebrews 11 and verses 2 and 3, it says here, but by it, that is faith, the elders obtained a good report. And in other words, God commends them for their good faith, their big faith. The elders, talking about the elders of Israel, the Old Testament saints. I know that because the rest of the chapter is actually telling us about those events in which they had faith and God was honored by their faith, like their deliverance from Egypt, the victory over the Canaanites, the provisions that God gave them in the wilderness and then over in the promised land, how they walked into cities that they hadn't built and ate from vineyards that they hadn't planted and had olive trees and all of the things that God had blessed them with. And they had faith as they went through the hardship, believing God would do what He promised to do. Verse 3 sort of gives us an idea how we can be included in this hall of faith here in Hebrews 11. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He said, let there be light. And there was. The Word of God framed the world. The creation was just because of His spoken Word. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The things that were made, the creation, were not made by things that you can see. They didn't come from things that you could see. It came from nothing. You believe that? That's faith. We believe that. We trust that the world that is was spoken into existence by an all-powerful Creator God. He's the God of the universe, and He did it all from nothing. That's the kind of God we serve. Or you could believe that we came from lower forms of life, and this happened, and that blew up, and this got squished and moved over here and that around, and monkeys became man from amoebas. Well, that takes more faith yet. Because science proves all that wrong. Real science, true science. William MacDonald notes, the world says, seeing is believing. And God says, believing is seeing. The end of our faith will be sight. We'll see all the things we believe God for. What are you believing God for right now? You thought about that much lately? What wonderful truths have you latched onto lately? To Martha at Lazarus' grave, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And she did. She did see the glory of God. What's a biblical definition of faith? Verse 1. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have a whole sermon on that. I'd like to bring it sometime, but not tonight. In other words, faith is confidence that something which cannot presently be observed or seen, touched, felt, smelt, tasted, it can't be experienced, but confidence that it's still true, that it's still there. Do you believe there is a God? Really? You can't see Him. You've never seen Him. Do you believe there is a God that He rewards those who diligently seek Him? Let me ask you a question. Now, this is a trick question. Be careful how you answer. Is faith blind? Look at the definition and tell me if faith is blind. Verse 1. Is faith blind? I would say yes. It says we can't see it. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is confidence that something which cannot be presently observed or experienced is in existence. It will happen, just as He said. But we can't see it. It's blind. Let me ask you another question. Is faith ignorant? Over here is a piano bench. No, I haven't sat on that yet. But I believe it would hold me up. I haven't seen me sit on it. You haven't seen me sit on it. But I believe it'll hold me up. I look at those legs and how that's put together. I just picked it up. It's heavy. I've seen other people sit on that. And it held them up. I've actually bought and read about piano benches before. And what I read about them, it would suggest to me that that piano bench right there would hold me up. I know the history of piano benches. Is my faith in that piano bench ignorant? I haven't sat on it. But I believe it would hold me up. Do I have good reason to believe that that piano bench would hold me up? I do have good reason to. Is my faith blind? Yeah, I can't see God. But I have good reason to believe that He can hold me up. That He can take care of me. That He can do what He promised to do. I have good reason to believe that. What good reason do I have to believe that God would do these things? Well, I've seen His handiwork. What He does right. We can observe His intervention in the affairs of man down through history. History books are filled with things where God intervened in the affairs of man. We can read the Bible. We can read His Word. This is what He says. Not what somebody says He says, but this is what God says. This is God's Word. We can note how He has in past done exactly what He's promised to do. We can listen to them who've experienced a close fellowship with Him and listen to their testimonies. You see, I have good reason to believe that God is, and that what He said about Himself is true, and what He says about me is true, and what He says about this world is true, and what He says about life is true, and what He says about eternity is true. I have good reason to believe that. It's not ignorance to believe in God. It makes good sense. So the conclusion, faith is required to become a part of the family of God. Faith is required to live the abundant life as a child of God. You have to keep on having faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is believing. In the case of a Christian, faith is believing what God says that He did. Let me emphasize a phrase. Faith is believing what God said He did, He did. Faith is believing that what God says He is doing, He is doing. Faith is believing that what He says He will do, that He will do. Did you hear the phrase repeated over and over? What He says. Whatever God says, that's what we believe. God is the object of our faith, and more specifically, what He says. Therefore, faith requires knowledge of the Word of God and is strengthened by exercising it in trials and testings that tempt us to say, where is God in this? Not just any little thing will try your faith. It has to be something that makes you wonder, what's God doing? What are you believing God for tonight? Now, I could say there are thousands of promises in the Scriptures, but I'd have a hard time coming up with thousands. I could say there are some hundreds of them specifically pointed at us. There are thousands maybe of promises in the Scriptures, not all of them to us, but there are many of them to us, both implied and just by application of the Scriptures. I like some like this. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then what I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. That was spoken to Israel. But it's the same God. He was speaking to His people. Now I'm one of His people. So the implication is that's how God works. We learn a lot about God and His character and how He works in the Old Testament. So what do we need to do? We need to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways as believers. How about this? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Who? Who runs and doesn't get weary? Who walks and doesn't faint? They that wait on the Lord. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Old Testament, spoken to Israel. But there's a principle there that applies universally through all of the ages, and that is you cannot outgive God. You start giving things to God and you'll not outgive Him. How about this one? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. What if God wants us to do something spectacular? What if He wants us to do something really big from Corinth, Maine? We can do it. We can do it through Christ who strengtheneth us. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You believe it? Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care on Him. Why? because he careth for you. You believe it? He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. You believe he's coming back quickly? You say, well, that's been written for 2,000 years, Pastor. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The Lord's coming back. It's looking more and more like it. Looking like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, isn't it? Unrest in the Middle East. I just get excited thinking about the Lord might come back. In my lifetime, he may come back. I'll tell you what, I believe he's coming. I truly believe he's coming. I'm looking forward to it. Brothers and sisters, what are you believing God for? If we're not trusting God, if we're not believing what God said, then we're dishonoring him. We're disappointing our Heavenly Father. Let's believe. Let's believe consistently in the promises of our God. And we'll have that blessing that comes by believing, by trusting everything he says. Everything. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to share this cause for rejoicing, I think. I pray, Father, that we might really draw near to you. You are our God. You love us. You've made us your children. And Father, you want us to love you and live for you and walk by faith. Help me. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.